Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good today.
Yes, He is.
Amen. And, He's good every day.
Amen. Yes,
and we give Him praise and thanks.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, good, good.
Amen.
And we used to sing that song.
Pass.
You know that song?
Pastor, sound like you got a song. Let's go.
I'm trying to see if my wife has a song. You know that song?
I know it.
How's it go?
I don't know.
If you start it, Pastor, we'll join in.
Yeah. I know it. I know my wife knows it too. She just don't want to sing it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to look at the scripture tonight because David said that God put a new song in his mouth.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to have a new song. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto Him all the earth. Amen. On this Wednesday, what is this, April 23rd?
Yes.
Amen. April 23rd. And we are on our seventh lesson out of eight.
Amen.
On waiting. Amen. And, I have found it to be helpful. I pray you have too.
Amen.
As we've gone through discussing what it means to wait and how we can wait even more. So we are, we are excited about that. And hopeful that, we take these things and get them into our heart. Amen. So we're waiting even now. Waiting on God even now. Waiting on an answer right now. Waiting on Him to manifest Himself right now. Waiting for Him to show up. God is just amazing, right? Because He's always present. But many times we're waiting for Him to show up.
I like that. I just caught that.
Right?
You're right.
God's amazing. Amen. Always present, but we're waiting for Him to show up. Amen. But we do wait, amen, we do wait, and God has shown Himself faithful. And today, amen, we're going to look at a Psalm of David, Psalm 40. And we're actually going to read through it, amen, and then we'll discuss it. The title of our lesson today is The Gifts in Waiting. And really talking about the things that God does for us, the things that God gives to us while we wait. And praise God, we're going to see David talk about a couple of things. And I think it will make us think about some of the things that God has given to us while we've waited. And so many times, God doesn't give you the answer, but He gives you something that allows you to wait for the answer.
Amen. Amen.
Because if He didn't do that, we give up. But he will give us something in the waiting that helps us to wait for what we're waiting for. Right? Amen. Amen. So let's pray tonight. We're going to read Psalm 40, and then we'll discuss the lesson again, and God will bless us. Amen. I believe that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we are here, and we are eager and ready to learn and to receive from You. Father, we ask You to fill our hearts with Your Word. Bless us by Your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to learn something that we need to learn on tonight concerning waiting and how we should wait and the blessings that You have for us in the waiting. Father God, we yield to Your Word right now, and we pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit will have His way in us and through us. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to come into this place and one more time to come before Your throne and to bask in Your presence and receive everything You have for us. Father, we bless You and give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, before looking at the lesson, let's look at Psalm 40, a Psalm of David. Amen. David wrote so many psalms. Amen. And he wrote this one. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen. Amen. So we're going to discuss parts of these the key verses in this passage. But let's start with our background here. It says, we have seen that when we are going through a time of difficult waiting, on the deepest level, what we are really longing and waiting for is an experience of God with us as we wait. When by grace we encounter God in our waiting, we are changed. The gifts we receive in these times of experiencing God's tender mercies toward us can have a profound and lasting impact on our awareness of God's personal love for us. This deeper trust in God's unfailing love, in turn, can strengthen us, heal us, and free us in ways we might never have known otherwise. All right. I like this when it says here that when we encounter God in our waiting, we are changed. Amen. I believe that. Amen. As we wait in God shows up and he speaks to us and he says something to us, it changes us. I believe every time God speaks, every time God shows up, change comes. Things don't stay the same if God is there. That's why we need God in our midst. Amen. People say, you know, oh, how was your day? Yeah, same old, same old. And God must not have been there. Amen. He said, I give you new compassions every morning. Amen. There's new stuff. You know, there's a new day. And God, you know, every time God shows up, things change. Amen. And so when he shows up in our waiting, we are changed. Amen. So look at the discussion. How do you, not others, you, tend to express your gratitude? Okay.
Say I'm thankful.
Okay, so with your mouth, expressing thanks from your, Bible says sometimes from your lips, right?
Yeah.
So testifying, it could be singing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could do all these types of things to express gratitude. Praise the Lord. You can do all these types of things to express gratitude, right? Anybody else? How do you express your gratitude?
I try to show it. Like if somebody, you know, does something nice for me, later down the line, I may see they need help with something. So I'll, you know, just go ahead and do it for them or something like that.
It's frozen. Let it go, let it go. You know that song? So we can express it from our lips. We express it by doing things.
By doing.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I just tend to, when God shows up, I almost always have to do something for someone else.
Yeah.
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 And it's funny, like, you'll be sitting there and just, like, it'll be so heavy on you. Mm-hmm. And you may be like, man, if I show up over there, somebody might be looking at me like I'm crazy. But it'd be so heavy on you, you don't got no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you go ahead and you do it.
Yeah. I think that in expressing gratitude, I think, you know, right, there's a lot of ways to do it, right? You can just, like, from your lips, from your heart, right? But I really do believe that doing things for other people, to me, that's a sign of a grateful heart right there. You know what I mean? Because I believe gratitude compels you to action.
I do too.
True gratitude.
Right.
It compels you to action. You know, people who, you know, go, it's easy to say thank you. Mm-hmm. We teach our kids thank you. You know what I mean? So kids grow up, you know, somebody get, what do you say?
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So we teach them that.
Right.
And really, you know, are they really grateful? Probably not. It's just that they were told, you know, mom chastised them at that moment. I'm talking about smaller kids now. Right? Because after that, they're like, okay, I did my thing. Okay, done. I'm gone. Right? You know what I mean? That's not something that they're holding with them. Now, the idea is we teach them that, but we know saying thanks and being grateful for other people doing things for you is a sign of a considerate, mature adult, and that's what we want them to grow into.
Exactly.
You know, but here's the thing. They got to grow into that. It has to become authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come to a point where no one needs to tell them, what do you say? You know what I mean?
Right.
When you get to the point you're 23 years old and somebody has to say to you,
how do you show gratitude?
You're right. The lesson hasn't gotten through. Mm-hmm. Because I believe real, authentic gratitude compels you to action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, you can't help. Like you might not want, but you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I think when we get into the church and, you know, and sometimes it's hard because when people first come into church, they're not used to like saying certain things out loud. You know what I mean? Like hallelujah, thank you. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean they have to. But see, after a while, they're compelled to do it.
Right.
It's like, oh, they don't even know when it happens, but at some point, they start opening their mouth.
You're right.
It happens, you know.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Teasing me. That's what I do.
Oh. But doing things for others. Okay, let's look at the next one. It says, think of a time recently when you felt grateful. What was the experience of gratitude like for you? Now, we praise God for this, right? Because it says, think of a time when you felt grateful. That means all you got to do is think back to today. Right?
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
Because you were grateful today, weren't you?
Amen.
Amen. You woke up this morning grateful.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We were grateful for God giving us a new day, right?
Amen.
Amen. It feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it feels so good to really express thanksgiving to God. And again, we talk about how amazing God is. You know, because in human relationships, when we thank someone, they usually feel good for being acknowledged.
Right.
But it's amazing thing about God, when we thank God and we praise God and we say, it's something that He does that makes us feel good. That's an amazing thing about God. You know, just like I said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's an amazing thing. Right? But when we thank Him, because like He says, He inhabits the praises of His people. And so when we thank Him and give Him glory, it's like we get strengthened and are made better. We feel better because we thanked Him. That's why I think it's so important for Christians. Learn how to thank God. Thank Him freely. Thank Him often. Thank Him for small stuff.
You're right. I thank Him for my, because you know my wife's pickup truck is an older truck, so every time it turned over, I thank Him. I've driven down the highway and seen newer trucks
on the side of the road, right?
My old truck still ticking. So yeah, I thank Him for that.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen. I think that when we find ourselves, for example, we're outside, and you know, if a cool breeze comes across your face and that really feels good, I thank you for that breeze. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be new car, new job, new this, new that. You know what I mean? God sent the breeze.
Amen.
Sometimes I'm working outside, and the clouds come at the right time to hide the sun. That ever happen?
I know what you're talking about.
I said, "Oh Lord, I thank you for sending a cloud." to give your son a break. Amen. But I think it's so. I know that I believe that being like that, it strengthens your relationship with God. Because we get to that point where, like Psalm 3, 5, and 6 talks about, you know, acknowledging God in all our ways. Amen. It's a trust thing. It brings us closer, right? Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's a good thing, because these are small ways, but you know what? Acknowledge Him. Amen. You know? And it just brings us to a better place. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so now let's look at Psalm 40 and some of the questions that go with that. Amen. Let's look at verses 1 and 3. And the question asks us, in question number 1, what does the psalmist say that God has done for him? In verses 1 and 3. Let's take a look at verses 1 and 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Okay, so what are some of the things? What did the psalmist say that God has done for him? He says he's waiting patiently for God.
He put a new song in his heart.
Yeah, right? Right, he put a new song in his mouth. Amen. Amen. He put a new song. Amen. And that's good stuff right there. Amen.
Amen.
What else?
He talks about he brought him out of a horrible pit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brought him out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay.
And then this one part I like. Set my feet upon a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Establish my going.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. And this establish my going, the New Living Translation says, He steadied me as I walked along.
Wow.
That's nice right there, right? Yeah. I'm walking along, but He steadied me. Because see, that means without Him, I'm probably staggering and swerving. And,
right.
But as I'm going, or maybe even buckling or whatever, but He steadied me. Come on, somebody. Remember God said to us on Sunday that just get going, keep going.
Amen.
Because He will steady us as we walk along. It's something about keeping going, because God shows up then. Amen.
Amen.
He's looking for people who are, because it takes faith to keep going.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It takes faith to keep going, especially when things don't encourage you to keep going.
Amen. Amen.
But you go anyway. That's why the women, that's why that stone was rolled away. Because they kept going.
Kept going anyway.
Even though they had no idea, right, who's going to roll away the stone for. So he says, he steadies me as I walk along. He set my feet on solid ground. Isn't that wonderful?
And when he says he steadied me, it also could mean he strengthened.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
A lot of times, and I know when I feel weak, I'm just exhausted or something, he strengthens me.
Yeah.
Just sometimes just thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah.
And you know, it's an interesting thing about strength. Strength comes in so many packages in a way. Strength can be physical strength. It can be emotional strength. You know what I mean? You can be tired. You know, you can need strength physically in order to keep going. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need that mental strength when your mind has been thinking so much, and your mind needs to be strengthened. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you might find yourself a little apprehensive, and you just need. It's almost like he injects you with some courage. I can do this. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like it strengthens your heart. You know, sometimes your heart can start to fail a little bit, like I don't know. You know what I mean? But then he can strengthen your heart. So God gives us strength in so many ways, amen, and allows us to do what? To keep going. But look what he said. This, and let's look at the other thing. The first, and then verse 1, it said that he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Inclined unto me and heard my cry. So here David says, you know, I'm waiting patiently for God, and he heard me, amen. He heard my cry. He brought me out of this horrible pit. And, you know, many of us have been in a horrible pit or two in our lives, amen. He sets us up on a rock, amen, which is a firm foundation instead of miry clay, right, where you can not really get, you know, a good footing, right? But he sets you on a place. And that's what I love about God, right? When Moses lifts up his rod and the Red Sea parts, the scripture says they walked on dry ground. Yeah. I mean, think about the miracle. A lot of times we just think about the miracle of the sea parting, but the miracle too was that the ground was dry.
After he parted it.
Yes.
Wasn't muddy. It was dry.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was muddy.
Oh yeah.
All those people, how hard it would have been to get over. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got animals, they got wagons and carts.
Ain't going nowhere.
So God not only parted the sea, but he made sure the footing was secure. Right?
I never looked at it like that, but yeah, you got a real good point there. Real good point.
But that's what he does for us, you know? So here he says, hey, I'm gonna take you out of this place where the footing is not too good. I'm gonna put you on solid ground.
Yeah.
I'm gonna steady you as you go. Strengthen you, help you walk. Amen. And then he says, put a new song in your heart. Amen. So as you go, you can be singing. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good stuff.
Amen.
Now, question 2 says, when have you sensed that God heard your cry at a time of waiting? Has God ever heard your cry at a time of waiting? Okay, so. It says, explain.
I know when I've been waiting for stuff and I feel like the point where I just just ready to give up. Okay, I'm tired now. This is taking too long. And I get really discouraged. That's when God sends somebody. Or he'll send a reminder. Nope, this is why you have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Almost makes me
want to
get like that so he could turn around.
She lied.
She lied quick.
Don't do that.
I don't.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, like I said, when we talk about waiting, right, we talk about the fact that we are in a waiting mode with God all the time, right? Because our lives are multifaceted and we're looking for different things from the Lord. And the Lord is really our provider. And here's the thing. God wants us to be doing that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See, people aren't like that. People have like limits on how much you can come to them for stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, don't keep.
Coming over here.
Don't keep asking for forgiveness.
Right.
For the same
thing. For that. Don't keep asking to borrow my car.
Right.
Don't keep asking me to pick up your lunch. Don't keep asking me for $2.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We don't like the idea that people, because we have a too much button. That's too much. That's too many times. God's not like that. God wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to come to Him often. That's why the idea, and I say that because it sounded a little funny when I said, you know, we're waiting on God for a whole lot of stuff. And it seems like, when all you do is you just want God to do stuff for you. That's exactly how He wants it.
Yep.
That's exactly how He wants it. He wants us to be in that dependent mode. In terms of, I'm your provider. Right? For what? For everything. Which is so contrary to the world. Right? And you know, sometimes it's contrary to church. Because we get in church and we start saying stuff like this. I want to serve the Lord. And see, here's the problem. God wants to serve you.
Wow.
No, He doesn't. Yes, He does. He wants to do stuff for you. Because we need Him to do stuff for us if we're going to be what He created us to be.
Amen. Amen.
But we walk around so much thinking about how we're going to serve Him. I read something recently. I forget where I read it. But I read it this week. We were talking about Mary and Martha. Remember when Jesus went to their house? Who was doing the serving?
Mary.
No.
Martha.
Yeah, Martha. She was the one that was in the kitchen. And she got mad that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Don't you care that my sister left me to serve alone? He said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part that can't be taken from her.
That's right.
That's what He said, right? So look at this. Who was looking about serving Jesus? Martha. And she was old man, right? Get Mary. And Mary's sitting there listening to Jesus. So what's she doing? She's receiving from Jesus. And Martha wants to give to Jesus.
Wow.
And Jesus said, you need to stop doing all that. You need to do this.
Wow.
What's He saying? You need to receive from me instead of being so focused on giving to me.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't give nothing to God, right? Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Doesn't mean we don't do stuff for God. But sometimes we get so focused on doing stuff for God that we forget to receive from Him. We're too busy being a Martha when sometimes we need to be a Mary. This time you need to sit there and receive from God. Let Him serve you. Remember Peter? I'm going to wash it. You ain't washing my feet. Remember? You ain't washing me. He said, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. The way He said that. Not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. But sometimes we got a lot of Lord to serve us. And I know that sounds funny, but don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say serve me like you sit back and put your feet up type of thing. You know what I mean? I'm not saying with that kind of an attitude. But what I'm saying is you got a lot of Lord to give you what you need in order to get out there every day to do what He needs you to do.
Amen.
But if we don't stop to do that, guess what? As soon, we're going to find ourselves running on empty.
Amen.
And God wants to give. That's what here. In the waiting, what did He do for David? He gave him certain things, right? He gave him that new song, right?
Amen.
He put him in a better place, you know, to walk. He gave him strength. He heard his cry. Amen. Now let's look at question 3. What experiences have you had of God lifting you out of a slimy pit of mud and mire and giving you a firm place to stand?
I lost count. I can't keep
track. That's the thing, right? It's been so many times. The one thing I thought about immediately, first of all, is when he saved me.
Amen.
That's when it all started. And then it hasn't stopped since.
Amen.
Amen. This time God has saved you. I mean, can anybody hear just like God saved you of a mistake?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You made a bad decision.
Ooh.
And you knew it was bad when you did. You know how sometimes you get that back of the hand thing? That even when you're doing it, you know
it's wrong.
And then it showed you that it was wrong, but then God still. Yeah, there's times you've done stuff and God didn't allow it to get to the person's attention. You made a decision and the boss, you didn't follow the protocol.
Wow.
And if it had got back to the boss, you wouldn't have had no good explanation why you did that. And under normal circumstances, that it would have gotten back.
Yeah.
And you go home going, oh Lord. And God keeps it from you.
Amen.
Yeah.
God's good, y'all.
Amen.
We make mistakes, and He keeps us. Sometimes, amen, just like with Moses, He hides us in the cleft of the rock.
Amen.
And passes by and shows us His goodness. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Making mistakes. That's what I love about the Lord, amen. We can make mistakes, and He can still make a miracle out of our mistakes.
Amen.
Amen. What new song has God put in your heart? That's question four. You got a new song?
What?
Don't get none, not that one. God put a new song in anybody's heart?
I have a song, but it's not a Christian song.
She's gonna come in here like what? Hammer time?
I wanna hear that one.
Hey, we
want to hear First Lady. I wanna hear that one.
But here's the thing about the song. Here's the thing about the song, you know. Sometimes the song is literal, but sometimes it's figurative. In other words, it doesn't have to be lyrical. You know what I'm saying? Like, there can be things that God just places on the inside of you that sort of lead you along. You know what I mean? Even your praise is a song.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily have to be you singing melodies.
Amen.
You know, it could just be your praise. You know, when I think of, you know, how Mary, you know, said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know what I mean? That was a new song in her heart. When she, you know, when the angel had visited her and she, right, and told her that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, and she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And then just went on and on, talking about the Lord's goodness.
Right.
It's those types of things, I think, as well, are new songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God reveals Himself to you in a different way,
yeah,
a different side of Himself. How many of you know there are so many sides to God? Right?
Amen.
We say we know in part. And I think we know such a small part. And even that's impressive, isn't it? It's overwhelming. Isn't that something? Sometimes you can know somebody for 30 years and they're not the least bit impressive. I'm just saying. I've been working with this joke for the last 15 years. You don't work with me. But here, God, here's the smallest thing about God. Amen?
Amen?
And so sometimes He can put something in our heart, a new revelation, that just leads us to a different place of praise. I love those times, amen, that, you know, sometimes you just wake out with spontaneous stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what did the psalmist say he's going to do? What was his response? Look at that question five. To the gifts he has received from God. And it points us to verses 4 and 5. How does he feel? Let's look at verse 4 and 5. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. O Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them.
Praise.
Yeah, he's praising. Excitement. He's overjoyed almost, right?
Thankfulness.
Yeah. And I like what he said. That he says if I try to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. It sort of reminds me of how in the Gospel of John, where he talks about Jesus and his miracles. He said, if I wrote down all the miracles that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books to contain them all. Come on, man. That's an amazing thing. So we got a glimpse of Jesus. Like, the Bible reveals unto us only some of the things Jesus did.
Yeah.
He said the whole earth couldn't contain all the books.
Wow.
Anybody feel like that about God? Like, if you started naming the things you were thankful for, it's like it just wouldn't be enough time. You probably wouldn't do much of anything else for the rest of your life. Amen. Now, the other thing the psalmist said he's going to do in 9 and 10, he talked about the fact that he was going to go into the congregation. Amen. He said, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from this great congregation. Verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. So what's he saying? He said, I've told other people about how good you are. Amen. We got to tell other people how good God is, right? Even if they don't want to hear it. Because it's not a matter of whether they want to hear it. God wants to hear it, and I want to hear it. I want to hear it out of my own mouth.
Amen.
Bragging on God, what God's done for me. Amen. People always want to tell you what somebody else did for them. They even make commercials. What has Brown done for you? Brown! Brown hasn't done anything for me. But God has done some stuff for me. I'll tell you that.
Amen.
God loves for us to boast in Him. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, David said. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Right?
Yep.
Amen. Okay. Praise seekers. Question number six. In what specific ways have you responded to the gift God has given you in time of waiting?
Trust.
So you responded by trusting Him more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right? I mean, and that's so important, you know. I think of it as like just having absolute confidence that God won't fail me.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Just having absolute confidence God won't fail me.
Amen.
You know what that means? I'm going. You say go, I'm going. That's why I trust you. Think of how many times God said to things that sometimes we read, you know, pretty quickly in the Bible. But like, you know, the different times, whether it was Joshua, whether it was David, you know, should we go up against this troop? Yes, go up against this troop because I have given them into your hand. And then they go. And they win. But sometimes we just go, yeah, okay, well, but God told them. Yeah, but how many things God told you? And you don't go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just because. Think about that. You see the big army on the horizon. They got more troops than you. God, should I go against this troop? Yes, go. I have given them into your hand. What if God said that to you today? You facing your troop. You count out your money. I got 29 pounds. This thing costs $50. $21 short. Lord, should I buy it? Go ahead and buy it. I put it into your hands. But where am I going to get the other $21 from? That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
tell. We want to know. Because see, we some want to know people, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know you told me that, but I want to know.
But there's so much power, though, in the not knowing. I'll tell you a quick story mm-hmm. quick. When I was in North Carolina, I had started working at this one hospital, and I got angry at work. And sometimes I can let my anger get the best of me, sometimes. But I have learned from that situation. And I said some things that were really wrong, and so I was suspended from work.
Not you.
I was. And even though I said something, even though my actions were wrong, I think God had a heart to see that, and I apologized to the lady, the actual charge nurse. I apologized, and I left. But that lady wrote a letter for me on my behalf that I didn't get fired, which I didn't know. I didn't know that yet. And so what happened was that Sunday, because I got suspended on Saturday. So that Sunday when I was in church, I said, and AJ was deployed. And I said to myself, and he was due to come back on R&R. I said, if he come back here and I don't have no job, I will be in trouble. That's what I said to myself. I said, but God, you know what? I know you better than that. And all I had was $500. I gave it all. Now, I don't believe in tithing, so I'm saying I gave it all as a gift.
Then
I did it, okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I gave it all. I gave it all. And then I said to myself, Lord, I'm going to look real stupid if AJ find out I lost my job and I turn around and gave him all my money. I'm going to look real stupid, Lord. I'm going to need you to take care of your servant. Do you know they called me back on Monday, that Monday, and told me that they investigated and everything was fine, but they read the letter to me that the lady, the charge nurse, wrote to her on my behalf. I couldn't believe it. And I trusted God in that whole. I was nervous. And I was thinking things, but I would not allow myself to say anything contrary to what I was believing.
Right.
For real.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing him can be scary. I mean, not trusting him can be scary, but it's the benefit is so much greater. Just trust him when you're scared. If you get that tipple, trust him anyway. Illogical, trust him anyway.
Amen. You said something that I believe in wholeheartedly, and I think it's just worth repeating because I think it's a powerful thing. You said there's a power in not knowing. And, you know, we have talked about that here many times. We have to embrace and begin to learn how to enjoy the not knowing and enjoying the uncertain. Because, you know, this is a faith step and a journey. In other words, you can, you know, how's it going to work out? I don't know, but I'm going with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We have to get to that point where we embrace that.
Right.
Amen? Yes. Not knowing. Because, see, we're almost programmed to have to know before we do.
Right.
But it's a funny thing. We understand that we tried that in other areas of life. Sometimes we can get in trouble.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Go out on the street now. And the cop is directing traffic away from this. Mm-hmm. And tell him you're not going where he's telling you to go until you know why you need to go over there and see where it gets you. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things we do and don't know when we respect the authority.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That's why sometimes you tell your kids, come on, we're going in the car. Where are we going? Don't ask me.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to know
everything.
You just need to get your coat.
Give me coat. Give me coat.
I heard that as I was a kid. I'm sure many of the kids here have heard that too. Sometimes your parents will tell you. Right? You don't need to know. But we grow up with that, you know, we sort of, it's a natural thing, but natural things are inferior to supernatural things, right? So, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. So, sometimes we want to know, but the not knowing is a blessing sometimes, because it now really brings you to that realm of trust and faith. So you just say, I don't know how, but I'm believing on God. Amen. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the week. You know, we learned that firsthand through tithing. Amen. Why? I can do the math. Because if I tithe and pay bills, this is how much I'm short. You understand what I mean? I can do the math.
You do the math.
But when you tithe anyway, what are you saying? Lord, somehow you're going to take care of the shortage.
You got faith.
Somehow you're going to take care of the shortage.
So you put,
Amen.
You put your faith into action right there.
Then, oh yeah, right? When you can add it up. And the math doesn't work.
Like eight times you did that.
Right. But you still do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So yeah, the not knowing. And I think God wants us, because He wants us to trust Him, right? Trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. Amen. Alright, let's see. I just want to talk about this one real quickly, and we're going to be leaving soon. In verses 6 and 8, it talks about how God, the psalmist says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Amen. So it says here, right, that God does not desire religious observances as an expression of our gratitude, but instead wants our heart. Amen. And so it says, what contrast would you draw? And we know that God said in 1 Samuel 16:7, when He was selecting a new king to replace Saul, and David and Jesse's sons were coming before Him, and the first son came, and he was tall and handsome and everything else. And even the anointed man of God said, surely this is the one. Even sometimes the leader can be wrong, you know, for somebody, right? And God said, nope, not him. Right? And He told him what? That man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Amen. So that's what God is looking for from us. Amen. So it's good to do some things outwardly. Again, this is not saying don't do outward stuff. Like just sit there and go, well, God knows my heart. That's not how people say that. That's, you don't want to do that. But whatever you do, you want it to originate in your heart. In other words, if you're going to give something to somebody, let it be here first. You know what I mean? And not out of obligation or done in a grudging way. You know, if I'm going to help you, if you're going to help me do something, do it because it's coming from in here. Because otherwise, God looks at that as just a superficial action that really carries no weight with Him. You know? And so, even in our churches and everything else, we come, we're singing, we're preaching, we're teaching, whatever we do for God, it's got to come from our heart, amen? And that's what David was saying. He said, you don't desire these burnt offerings, right? And didn't he say that also? He said, God said that to Saul. When he tried to explain why he didn't wait for Samuel to come.
Right.
And he made the sacrifice. He said, do I have delight in burnt offerings?
Right?
He said, obedience is better than sacrifice.
That's right.
Amen. It's better. You're not saying you shouldn't sacrifice.
Right.
He's just saying better.
Amen.
Some people, well, I ain't sacrificing no more. No, he just said it's better. Don't give up sacrificing, amen. I can't give anything to the Lord if I didn't sacrifice, David said. Okay, I just want to look at one other thing, or two things here. Because you see in verse 7 and 8, David writes, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And these verses, amen, are referred to in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 10, referring to Jesus, amen. And that's what David, I mean, he gets to the point where he said, I would delight to do thy will, O God. You know, sometimes, you know, you pick out there's a psalm or passage of scripture that stays with you and you repeat it.
Right.
I like repeating that. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. You know why? Because that brings you to what you're saying.
Amen.
I delight to do thy will, O God. Amen. So now you're in this situation where it's like either or, my will or His, and that thing will come back in you. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Amen. And now you're going the right way. Holy Spirit, bring back to your remembrance at the right time.
Yeah.
Amen. I just love that right there. Amen. How many of you delight to do thy will, O Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's a wonderful thing to be able to say with sincerity. Amen. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Amen. Last thing is, let's do this. Let's go to verse 11. Question 11.
Okay.
What do you want to continue to ask God for at this time? Right? David was asking for God's help. He was asking for God's deliverance. He was asking for God's, he wanted to see God's salvation in his life. Amen. In this particular situation. What do you want to continue to ask God for in this time of your life? What do you need from the Lord?
Revelation.
Okay. Amen. Revelation. I need help.
To keep.
Okay. I'm just saying me. I'm gonna be talking. I heard you already. I need revelation. Okay. I need help. I need that too, but I need revelation. Okay. Amen. Amen. At the very time, right? There are times we're going to need his provision,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
We're going to need his healing. We're going to need his guidance.
Amen.
We're going to need his protection.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're going to need revelation.
Yeah.
There are times, sometimes, all you want, you just want his presence. I just need to know you're here, Lord.
Yep.
Amen. And God's willing to do all those things. Because what? As David said, he said, I cried unto you and you inclined your ear.
Amen.
And God does that for us, right? Because we are his children in Christ Jesus. Amen. So listen, as we go through the waiting, and David said here, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. Amen. That part sometimes is difficult, but God shows up in our waiting. Amen. And, whether he's going to give us these things, we just ask for provision, protection, guidance, wisdom, revelation, all these things and more. Amen. Strength. We talked about how he gave David strength. Reassurance. Sometimes you just need to be reassured.
Yes. Amen.
It's okay.
Yes.
I love you. It's going to work. You know what I mean? Sometimes you want God to fix something, or he tell you, it's okay. Well, you got to, see, that thing can give you strength. Okay, well, keep going then.
Yeah.
Right?
Just that word.
Yeah. Just that word right there. It's not, he doesn't come and move the stuff out the way. He just lets you know, it's okay. Okay.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Then you go, okay. You know what I mean? You just put your shoulders back a little bit, and you keep going.
Amen.
Amen. So we praise God for it. I mean, God shows up in our waiting. Amen. Amen. And we should expect to see him as we wait to manifest himself. And I think that I love this lesson, amen, because many times we would talk about what we do while we wait. And here it's talking about what God does while we wait. Amen. And how he how he shows himself in our life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So alright, so praise God, amen. Let's we have one more. One more lesson. Amen. And we can wait for it, can't we?
I can't, but I'm going to have to read it on my own.
Yeah, that's all right. God will give you revelation. Amen.
Amen.
We believe that. Amen. And we do have a lesson. Did you hand it out already?
Oh, she gave it to me, Pastor.
Okay. Now we make sure everybody has. Amen. Amen. Any questions? Anything on your heart before we go? No?
Pray I had, I'm leaving out for pray I have a safe flight, safe return back.
That's right. Man, we're going to see you.
That's right.
When you come back?
What is it? 10th, 11th? 10th or 11th, something like that.
Oh, okay. Wow. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And pray for Sister Melody too, and Sister Shekinah.
All right,
be pray on that time. He hold up
to be on time while I'm
holy
gone.
Basis.
To be on time while I'm gone. Be on time. Amen. Be on the time.
Oh, let's pray tonight as we prepare to leave. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise and thanks right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the lesson that you have shared with us, O God. And Father God, we thank you most of all for how you show up and show yourself as we wait. As we wait upon the Lord, you renew our strength. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you just do so many things for us. You give us strength. You give us wisdom. You give us guidance. You provide for us. You protect us, O God. You give us assurance. Father, you give us exactly what it is that we need as we wait for you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God, that we can put our trust in you, God, knowing, God, that you will not fail us. And so, Father, we bless you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, help us, O God, to continue to grow in our faith, that, Father God, that we may live a life that is pleasing unto you, and, Father, that we may wait patiently, O God, for whatever it is that we need, knowing, God, that you are faithful, and, yeah. Father God, that you will show yourself strong in our lives. Father, we ask you now, God, to look upon Brother AJ, O God. Yeah. Father, he's going to be here for the next few days, but, Father, he is preparing to ship out, O God. And so, Father, we ask you to help him over these next few days. O God, let everything go smoothly, Father, as he prepares, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, as he prepares, we ask that you will prepare the roadways, the airways, O God, for him, O God, to travel smoothly and safely in the name of Jesus Christ. Let him get to his appointed destination, O God, without any accident, any harm, evil, or danger coming his way. Father, watch over him every step of his journey. And Father, we're relying on you, O God, to bring him back safely at the appointed time. Father, you said you perfect those things that concern us. And so, Father God, he and his welfare concerns us. And we thank you, Lord, that you perfect it and bring it to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless Sister Melanie and Sister Shekinah, O God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that they are yet here and we'll surround them with our love. But Father, we ask you to surround them and just bless them with your presence even now. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that your love is upon them as a family and individually. And we give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as we prepare to leave, we ask you, God, even though we're not traveling far, we take nothing for granted. Guide us home safely tonight in the name of Jesus. Light our pathway. And Father, we bless you, O God, for just being mindful of us. And Father, we give you praise for this place. You continue to have your way in it and have your way in our lives. And we will lift up your name and give you the glory. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.